falling in love, hopeless loves, falling in love with the wrong person. Those are examples of life traps. The point is that these kind of chronic states of meaninglessness are very demoralizing, and serious chronic demoralization has a very adverse effect on the prognosis in illness. Despair, helplessness, resentment will activate the recurrence of illness, and this has been shown in cases of malignancies and heart disease and so on. And conversely, if you can maintain some state of hope, purpose, gratitude, joy, something like that, that seems to protect against the recurrence of many illnesses. Cancer patients who find high levels of meaning in their life can tolerate more severe physical symptoms than people who report low scores on measures of meaning. And a serious illness such as cancer will often stimulate very positive psychological changes and an improved sense of meaning in life. So the discovery of meaning in life when you become ill, if you can do it, will increase life satisfaction, it will reduce painful, unpleasant feelings, and it will improve your general health. This isn't only true of physical illness, it's also true of psychological illness. A good example is given by Kay Jamieson, who was a psychiatrist who wrote a book describing her very severe mental illness. She says, given the choice, she would choose to have her illness, quote, because I honestly believe that as a result of it, I have felt more things more deeply, had more experiences more intensely, loved more and been more loved. I have been aware of finding new corners in my mind and heart. So in other words, her illness was essential to the development of the sense of self that she had. And this could have been said about many physical illnesses as well. One difference is that the meaning of an illness can sometimes depend on the part of the body which is affected, because sometimes physical illness can have narcissistic significance. An illness which involves the face or the genitalia, which affects body image or sexuality, can radically affect self-esteem and your sense of adequacy, and a feeling of being defective or ugly, that kind of thing. Illness, by the way, can also lead to what's called counterphobic behavior. I've read recently of people who go skiing when they're blind or go skiing when they only have one leg. The classic example in England in World War II was an ace fighter pilot called Douglas Bader, who had no legs, but he became a well-known fighter pilot with no legs. It was quite remarkable. That's a good example of counterphobic behavior, where you do the opposite of what one would think would happen from a severe illness. So all in all, it's clear that illness is much more than physiological dysfunction. Unfortunately, the mechanical view of the body, typical of what we could call medical materialism, is not much use when you try to understand the subjective meaning of illness. Many physicians ignore the subjective aspect of illness. Not all, but many. But serious illness is not just a biological process. It's a new way of being in the world. It's a new form of existence. When you have a serious illness, you feel isolated. You feel concerned about the future. But unfortunately, sometimes one is pressured to behave in a certain way. Sometimes people, when they're ill, are pressured to be upbeat and positive, which is very silly, actually. More so in the past, but even today to some extent, people tend to assume that they have to go along with the discourse of the physicians, with the discourse of medicine. They have to focus on treatment and symptoms. As if their own existential situation, their own story, and their own voice was somehow less important. But this is now starting to change as people are taking more and more personal responsibility, and more literature is appearing about the subjective effects of illness. But still, the subjective experience of